Thank you. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for sharing this morning. I really appreciate it. Hearing testimonies of what Christ has done. So God bless you as you continue walking with Him. Appreciated the worship this morning. May we continue to walk with Him in every area of life. Faithful men. A.W. Tozer says it this way, the church at this moment needs men. The right kind of men, bold men. The talk that we have, the talk is that we need revival, that we need a new baptism of the Spirit. And God knows that we must have both. But God will not revive mice or rabbits or any other animals. But He needs men. He needs men to be faithful, to be bold. We languish for men who feel themselves expendable in the warfare of the soul, who cannot be frightened by the threats of death because they have already died to the allurement of this world. Such men will be free from the compulsion that controls weaker men. They will not be forced to do things by the squeeze of circumstance. Their only compulsion will come from within or from above, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We need men. We need faithful men. In the world that we live in a highly secularized world, men who will stand when everyone else is falling. Just look at the definition of faithful. Firm to adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Firmly adhering to duty. Loyal, true to allegiance as a faithful subject. May that be each one of us as we go through life. O Lord, make us faithful men, like the song goes. Make us faithful men to recapture the vision again. We'll just look at a few men in the Old Testament. We'll look at Noah, just a couple of verses from him, Daniel, and Job. These men are extolled for their righteousness by being faithful to God. Noah walked with God in an evil generation, in a time frame when God repented that He had made mankind because they were so evil. He mentioned the courage that it took to stand strong in the middle of a generation that God repented that He had made mankind because it was so evil. And here, Noah stood strong. It said he walked with God. And he built the ark in the middle of dry land. Can you imagine the ridicule, the mocking, the scorning? What are you doing? Building this big, big boat out here in the middle of nowhere. And it's designed in a way that you can't even steer it. What are you thinking? But God. Noah overcame the world by believing God and obeying Him. He didn't know what the outcome was fully going to be, but God told him to build this ark because He's going to send the flood that's just going to destroy all living creature upon this face of the earth, except the ones that are inside the ark. There was no water in sight. It had never rained up to that point. And here he was building the ark out there as a spectacle for the world to see. Then we look at Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. You could think, what's wrong with that? I'll just ask God to sanctify it, and I'll just eat it. But no, he refused to defile himself with the king's meat, because the meat that was being offered to him was not kosher, which in that time period was not lawful for the Jews to eat. But yeah, he would not compromise. Then a decree was made that no one can bow before any other god besides the king for 30 days. Why not just go behind closed doors? Nobody will see me. I'll still bow to my God in heaven, but in secret. But no, he'd bow just like he always did before the God of heaven, and prayed to him like he always did before. Even in the face of death, he knew that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den if he does that. But no, he was faithful. He stood in the face of death. So unless God is able, unless God shuts the mouths of the lions, when he gets thrown in there, he's going to die. But that did not matter to him. In many aspects, like I had read before, they cannot be frightened by the threats of death because they have already died to the allurement of this world. He had already died to the alluring things of this world. And therefore, it didn't matter if he was thrown into the lion's den and get killed in that fashion. Because he knew the God in heaven and would continue to bow to him as he has done in prior times. But God, Daniel overcame the flesh by faith and prayer. Then we look at Job. In the midst of pain and suffering, his wife said to him, "Curse God and die." But no, he would not give in. Later in the midst of suffering, he made this declaration, "I know that my Redeemer lives. Ives is my Eliezer lib." He knew that. Even though it didn't make sense, he lost everything he had. He lost all his children were killed when the house came down upon them. All his animals were gone. He was one of the richest men that ever lived in that time frame, in that time era. And everything was gone. And he said, "The Lord give us, the Lord take us away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job overcame Satan by maintaining his faith in God through the worst that Satan could hurl at him. He overcame because he had faith in God. Ezekiel says it this way, Ezekiel 14, 12 to 14. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and send famine in it and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness,' says the Lord God." So if those three men were in the midst of that, they would still deliver. They would still deliver themselves by their righteousness. Look at Genesis 6. Start at verse 5. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagination of the heart... And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man that I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. What a testimony. What a testimony that God would say that Noah was a just and perfect man in his generation, and he walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms I shall make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion that thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shall I put in the ark, and a cubit shall I finish it above, and the door of the ark shall I set in the side thereof. The lower, the second, and the third story shall I make it. And behold, I will bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein there is breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee shall I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives, and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall I bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee. There shall be male and female, of fowls of their kind, and cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou upon thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then chapter 7, we'll just read a couple of verses here. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and Noah the house into the ark, for thee have I found righteous before thee in this generation. Of every clean beast shall thou take to thee by seven, and male and his female, and of the beasts that are clean by two, that are not clean by two, the male and his female. The fowls of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive from the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of the water was upon the earth. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the water of the flood. A couple of times it mentioned that as God commanded him, that's what Noah did, as God commanded him. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. The windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day ended Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him in the ark. And every beast, they and every beast of its kind, and all the cattle of their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And every fowls after his kind, every birds of every sort, they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh wherein was the breath of life. And they all went in male and female of all flesh, and as God has commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Says the Lord closed the door, and that was it. There was only one door in the ark, and whatever animal went in was saved, and that was it. When God closed the ark, either you were on the inside or you were on the outside. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming back. Either you will go with him or you will stay behind. Jesus Christ is the door, and it's the only way that we can come to, the only way that we can make it is through Jesus Christ. He is the door, like it says in one place, he is the door to the sheepfold. They that enter in is through him. Faithful men. In verse 9 in chapter 6, Noah was a just man and he walked with God. Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Faithful men, faithful men, faithful men. May we be faithful, faithful men. Let me we'll look at Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuch that he would not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuch. And the chief of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then he would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said unto the steward, whom the chief of the eunuch has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men which eat the portion of the king's meat, as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, the future appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men which ate the portion of the king's meats. Thus the stewards took away the portion of meats and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. For these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. Now at the end of the days when the kings had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king interviewed them, and among them were none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and all manner of wisdom and understanding about the king examined them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and I'm not sure how to pronounce that word, who were all in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Have we purposed in our heart not to defile ourselves? Faithful men. Then Daniel 6, start at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to send him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a man. There was no error or fault found in Daniel. Even though they scrutinized him, they sought for something that they could find against him. There was nothing that could be found against Daniel. Faithful man. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against concerning the law of his God. Now these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save to thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writings that it may not be changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Therefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his window being open to the chamber towards Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save for of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, with alters not. Then answered they and said unto the king, O, that Daniel is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but makest his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored unto the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continuously, he will deliver thee. Even the king recognized the power of the God that Daniel served, that he said, thy God, which thou servest, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king rose early, very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continuously able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocent they was found in me. And also, before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. But the lions weren't hungry, right? It just happened that Daniel was thrown in the den of lions and they weren't hungry, so they decided to leave him alone. But let's read on. Verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. It's interesting that it says that nothing happened to him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they ever came to the bottom of the lions. Came to the bottom of the den. So the lions were hungry. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people and nations and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persians. Faithful men, what about me? What about you? Could we stand in times like this? I know many of our forefathers, especially in the Anabaptist background, have died for their faith because they refused to recant their faith in order to live. But many of them have gone to the stake. Just recently, I was somewhere where there's a magazine about the story of Dirk Williams, on how he was fleeing from the thief catchers, Because he was a hunted man, he was a man that was being hunted because of his belief in Jesus Christ, because he had forsaken the way of the so-called church in the day. Anyhow, as he was running away, he crossed over a creek that was barely, the ice was barely solid enough, but he was able to make it to the other side without falling down through. And the guy that was running after him fell through the ice. And he knew that if he goes back and helps the man that was running after him, if he helps him out, he's going to be burned at the stake. But he also knew that if he does not help him out and give him the one opportunity to be saved, he's going to regret it for the rest of his life. So he turned back, helped the man that was pursuing him, helped him out, and at the end, he died at the stake because when in reality he could have easily got away that time, but he did it because of the love that he had for mankind and not willing that one could save. And I guess that just challenged me again is, do I have such a love for mankind that even I would do something that I know would land me into prison for my faith, and the end would be tied to a stake with a fire put underneath you that you would be burned at the stake. But I would still do it because I would love that man so much that I would not want his soul to be burned up in hell. And therefore, I would turn back and help him out of the ice-cold water so that he would not drown or die. Faithful men. I believe for Daniel, it started in the beginning when he decided that he would not defile himself. I want to look at Job. Job 2:7. Job chapter 2, starting at verse 7. Then went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his feet unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself therewith, and he sat down upon the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, Thou speakest one of the foolish women speakest. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So with all that, he did not sin with his lips. Let's go to Job 40. That's after Job had, chapter 40 is when the Lord is challenging Job. So start at verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yet twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. God is challenging Job for some of the response that he had given to his three friends. Verse 11, Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I confess unto thee that thy own right hand shall save thee. Behold that now behemoth, which I have made with thee, he eateth grass like an ox, Behold now the strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are the strong pieces of brass, and his bones are like the bars of iron. He is chief in the way of God. He made him that can made his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth fruit, and where all the beasts of the field play. He lies under the shaded trees in the covers of the reeds and ferns. The shaded trees shall cover them in their shadows. The willows of the brook shall compass them about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hastens not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. Then chapter 42, 1 to 6, is Job's response. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee in the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. His response was to repent in dust and ashes. When he has seen the Lord, when he had not just heard of him, but he has seen him. Then the Lord spoke these words unto Job, and his anger was kindled against Job's friends. Then verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house and bemoaned him and comforted him in all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yokes of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Wow. What wealth this man had. But what I want to bring out more that the faithfulness, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of everything that came against him, he would have every reason to just give up and said, you know what, I'm done. But he said, even his wife said, do you hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. And said, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In all that was going on, he did not sin with his lips. We'll also look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. And it goes on down through. By faith Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and so forth. And it says, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we diligently seek him? He rewards that. We'll jump down to 23, talks about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he should be destroyed, the firstborn should touch him. For he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith the path through the Red Sea is by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fill me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets. And put your name in there. As we look, let's say it 100 years from now, and people look back in the generations past, could they say that time would fill me to tell of Jesse, of John, of Caleb, of Josh, of Leon, of Jonas, of Sammy, of Mel, Jordan, Steve, of Daniel, of Eve, Simeon, of Elmer. Would your name be in that line of people that died in faith? Now it's our turn. We can read of all the faithful men that have gone before us in the Bible and throughout history. Now it's our turn. So much out there is out there to grab our attention. It's out there to derail us. It's out there to cause us to stumble. But God, let's stand and pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let God search our hearts. Are we faithful? Are we faithful, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the commitment that we made to Him? Are we faithful to Him? Are we faithful to our wives, to our families? Or is it okay to compromise a little here, a little there? But it's so hard to do what's right. Why not just go with the flow? My friends are doing it, so it's okay for them. So why can't I do it? Are we okay to lift up a standard? Are we okay to lift the banner high? Say, because of Jesus Christ, I will not defile myself. I will walk in faithfulness. I will walk with Him regardless of what the cost may be. And that His name be glorified. And that that He receive the glory that's due to His name. And if I miss somebody's name, don't take it to heart. Daniel, can you pull that? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Why don't we stand and declare this? I know it's a song, but why don't we just declare it to the Lord? If that's in your heart to do, just stand with me, and let's just declare that I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Verse 1 says, I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their life if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Their great and genial choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. So let's join me in just declaring the chorus. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone. The cause of Jesus still goes on. Now it's our time has come, our time. Each one of us has come to count the cost, to reject the world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say. Let's just read that again. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. To the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let's read that as well. To the Lamb who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Is that each one of us? Is that in our hearts that we will pledge allegiance? The allegiance that we will give is to Jesus Christ and him alone. That we will be faithful men. We will stand strong in the midst of temptation, in the midst of everything that's going on. We have a hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. We don't have to give in. We don't have to give in to temptation. There is a way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. But praise God, there is a way. He has provided the way that we can come to him. You may be seated. Then the song also, Faithful Men. Give us men who are strong when the battle is long. Give us men with a will to win. Men courageous and true that a number be few. O Lord, give us faithful men. There's no time for delay, men are needed today, men persistent until the end, men whose feet are secure in the rock that is sure. O Lord, give us faithful men. Faithful men, to recapture the vision again, give us men who are true and loyal through and through. O Lord, make us faithful men. Not just give us faithful men, but make us faithful men. Make us men that are true to the end. May it not be our testimony that says there are many today who have wandered away. They are out in the fields of sin. Once they walked in the light, now they grope through the night. Oh Lord, make us faithful men. May that not be our testimony that once we were walking the light, once we committed our life to Jesus Christ, but today, it's not so. We have made a choice to walk in sin. God forbid that that will be any one of our testimonies. I'm going to close with Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against you or I against mankind. We don't wrestle against that. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the devil's out there to take us out. And he will not be satisfied until we are taken out. And it goes on to say, wherefore, in verse 13, wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and that having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all those, put on the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not just one or two, but you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked if we take on the shield of faith. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication unto the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication unto all saints. Do we take the sword? Do we take the sword in our hands each and every day? Said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's like one person said, which is more important, reading the word or praying? And the answer was given, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Both are vital for the Christian life. Both are important for the Christian life. To be able to stand, not just one versus the other, but both. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We're humbled at the men of faith throughout your word on how they have stood, how they have purpose in their hearts, like Daniel, not to defile himself. How Noah walked with God, walked with you, Lord, and obeyed all your commandments. And when Job, even when in the midst of deep distress, in the midst of deep pain, with boils from the tip of his toes to the top of his head, and in the midst of that, being able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And Lord, in Hebrews 11, we read about all the men that have, through faith, have subdued kingdoms, have wrought righteousness. So Lord, we recognize that those are testimony of men that have walked with you. And most of all, Jesus Christ, he came on this earth. He suffered, he died, he gave his life on the cross. He rose again from the dead in newness of life, that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For we thank you and we bless you this morning that we can come to you, that our lot doesn't have to be like others that have walked in the light and have fallen away. But that we can stand, and having done all, to stand. So, Father, we just praise you, we bless you this morning. I pray that that would be the testimony of each person here this morning, Lord. I don't know the struggles that each one may be facing. I don't know the desires that's in each heart. I don't know the unspoken requests that each person may have. But, Lord, you know all those. I pray that you would meet each of us where we're at this morning, that you would just reveal to us your heart, your desires, and may the power of your Holy Spirit rest upon us. Give us wisdom, will give us deliverance, will bring conviction where conviction is needed. And Lord, that your name be glorified, and that you receive glory that's due to your name. So, Father, we just praise you. We bless you because you alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Father, I pray as we live in the time period where evil is called good and good is called evil, with so much push out there with homosexuality and all the sins that's been promoted. Father, I pray that we would not give in to those things, but that we would stand and that your name be glorified, that we would be counted faithful in everything that we say or do, that your name be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name. We'll just close with chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. When a person runs the race, he doesn't put extra weight on him, but rather he runs with as little weight as possible. And likewise, it's saying that, seeing that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Brother Mel.